Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fresh Take Tuesdays from Stand Up Retail. I'm Carrie, and today we are going to be interviewing a leader from the retail industry who has tons of experience across many, many different platforms of retail before they left retail, actually, and has some great insights to share about a very important topic. Now, Fresh Take Tuesdays tackles hot topics that are relevant today for our new, aspiring, or struggling leaders who are out there in the retail field. Our goal is to have deep, rich conversations around these very, very important topics to help these leaders be able to navigate better, be able to grow their skill set, and to make sure that they can advance their careers in an ever-changing industry. If this sounds like it would benefit you, go ahead and tap that like button and go ahead and subscribe and get notified because these come out on Tuesdays once a month. It's never the same Tuesday, and our topics are chosen by our guests and our community, you. So please chime in the comments and let us know if there is a topic that you would like to hear us talk to somebody about. Today's topic is all about navigating toxic retail workspaces, which is relevant for everybody who works in retail, pretty much regardless of your position or your role or your tenure. But first, I want to give a couple of definitions before we get started. There are three terminologies that often get confused, especially by employees who find themselves in work situations that make them uncomfortable and they question whether or not they belong. Those three situations are toxic workplaces, hostile work environments, or interpersonal conflicts. Let's dig into some definitions. While the definitions are similar, there are differences. Just a quick search on Wikipedia, we can learn that a toxic workplace is a colloquial term used to describe a place of work that is marked by significant personal conflicts between those who work there. Toxic workplaces are often considered the result of toxic employers and/or toxic employees who are motivated by personal gain, use unethical means to psychologically manipulate and really annoy those people who are around them, and whose motives are to maintain or increase power, money, or their status, or even divert attention away from their performance shortfalls or misdeeds, versus a hostile work environment, which, according to U.S. labor law, exists when one's behavior within a workspace creates an environment that is difficult or uncomfortable for another person to work in due to illegal discrimination. Lastly, interpersonal disputes or incidents can be a symptom of each of the two previous situations. But these, if not part of a pattern or repeated occurrence, are generally handled through mediation, coaching, or organization disciplinary action. Now, all three of those situations can feel very similar to an employee in retail who might be in the thick of it. But also in retail, we tend to be told that it is what it is, that we need to deal with it, or that we just need to toughen up. Those responses are not okay with any of those above mentioned situations. True, being held accountable for a metric or a responsibility or a job function might require you to toughen up a bit, but if the manner in which the feedback is given or the performance review is given hits any of those three definitions, by no means do you just deal with it. Another misconception is that depending on the type of retailer you work for, the environment may or may not be more or less toxic. This is also something that we talk about in our interview with our guest. So let's quickly get into it and have a nice, deep, rich discussion about how you, as an employee or a leader in retail, can help navigate through these tricky and often very uncomfortable situations. Let's go. Hi, everybody. And again, welcome back to our second episode of Fresh Take Tuesdays. I have an awesome guest, someone who I haven't seen in several years. Actually, it's probably more than several, right, Felix?
Yeah, probably 10.
Oh, my gosh. But we have some shared work history, and he came up with an amazing topic to talk about. And as I said earlier in the episode, we are going to talk about navigating toxic workspaces within the retail environment. And something, unfortunately, I think everybody who works in retail probably has experience doing, but it's very relevant now, considering we're dealing with hiring issues, even worse than we've ever seen before in the retail industry, a lack of satisfaction and underappreciation, and this thing that everybody calls the Great Resignation, which if you work in retail, you're like, listen, I'm just going someplace better, which is what ends up happening. But Felix, so I don't go blabbing about who you are. Why don't you give us a little idea of who you are, where you currently are working and what you're working on, your passions, and what you think your strengths are as a leader?
So first of all, thanks for having me on, Carrie. Oh. It's exciting to reconnect after so long.
I know.
So I've been in retail for probably 20 years, a mm-hmm. long time. I worked for specialty, I worked for fast fashion, department store, luxury, and I have now transitioned out of the retail environment mm-hmm. into real estate.
Yes. A lot of people are doing that right now, actually. Mm-hmm. But it has a lot of the same elements to it in terms of what makes you successful to be able to lead your own self to success. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the things that, well, I kind of stumbled upon it mm-hmm. after my last retail foray had to close due to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I ended up going into marketing, mm-hmm. Email marketing specifically, for a real estate brokerage. And then I got recruited mm-hmm. by a real estate brokerage to become a realtor. So
that's awesome.
It just kind of was like a waterfall effect. But it's been exciting. And as you said, I've been able to apply all the things that I've learned throughout my 20-year history of the retail environment to apply to real estate and understanding how to meet and exceed customers' needs. Mm-hmm. It's all the same. So yes. In a service and sales-based environment, those skills can transfer from place to place.
Yeah, no, I would say they mesh very, very well. I've seen a lot of people, and not at just a store level leadership, position level transition into real estate. I've seen quite a few people do that, who I've worked with in the past, but even people who work up into director level, senior director level, VP, national directors. I've seen a lot of people take that leap. So, you bring up transferable skills and, what we learn in retail is extremely marketable. And I think a lot of people, leaders or even, sales associates or people who work in the support field, in that pillar, people forget how marketable our skills are. Like in retail, you do it all. And number one, you have to be great with people and have empathy. And I'm sure those are definitely some of your strong suits that I can remember. What would you say were your top skills that you use in your new career or that transferred over for you?
I would say the biggest thing is understanding how to work with people. Mm-hmm. And this is something in the environment that we both worked in together. I had never had a team so large. So I was used to managing smaller teams in the 30 to 50 range. Mm-hmm. But in that environment, there were occasions where I would have to oversee, leader on duty, there's 200 people on mm-hmm. the schedule. Yeah. So really understanding how to connect with each individual, meet them where they are. We all have the same goal of exceeding the customer's expectations, but we all can't approach it the same way.
No.
So that was the place where I learned that I needed to be empathetic to everyone's situation, mm-hmm. understand their skill level, and how to bring everyone to the same page.
Yeah, I think, where you and I, where our work histories overlapped, we were in the most chaotic footprint in New York City for the largest department store in the US. And it really is a test to anyone's character to be able to step into a role there, whether it's, an hourly or whether it's someone who progresses into leadership or comes in to a leadership position, which you came in as a leader from the outside. I came in as a leader from the outside. It is a shock to go from what you think is normal to something as chaotic as what we walked into. But that, I think, is might be where we have common ground to kind of talk about, because I also worked in department. I've worked in fast fashion. I've worked in luxury. I've worked for specialty. The topic you chose today is kind of it kind of happens everywhere. It's a very universal thing that happens within the retail world. And you wanted to talk about navigating toxic workspaces in retail. And when I asked you that question about what you wanted to talk about, what really was the driving factor? What made this kind of rise to the surface for you?
I think the biggest thing for me, toxic work environments exist everywhere, as you said, in retail and other places as well. Mm-hmm. But in a retail environment, I think there's a misconception that depending on the type of retail you're working in, one may be more toxic than the other for various reasons.
That's actually very true, I would say.
And that environment that we worked in together, that large monster with large teams and a heavy foot traffic from customers.
Yes.
That
millions
prepared
and millions.
Me, yes. And that's not an exaggeration of that number.
Mm-mm.
It prepared me for what I was in that environment before heading into luxury and dealing with small teams, 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
I was not prepared for what that journey would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish there was someone that told me, this is how you handle this. This is how you navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you can get through it. Because it's not always the answer of walking away when you're not satisfied
yes.
or happy. Sometimes
yes.
you have to fight it to get
That's
to
very
the
true.
Other side.
I mean, I think, you know, going back to kind of the beginning of our chat today is, you know, retail, we always say we're one big family, and like you can get a job anywhere. Like, it doesn't matter where you move, you always are going to be able to find a job. And you can find varying degrees of jobs. You can have, you know, what a lot of people consider an easy job, which is an hourly position, which we both of us know that an hourly in retail is not an easy position to execute.
Not at all.
Regardless of the type of retailer you work for, whether it's a convenience store or an off-price brand or a luxury store, it's very, very difficult. To lead a team within all of those environments is also not easy. And you touched on something that's really interesting, because no one teaches you how to navigate that. There's all of this training and there's all of this onboarding to bring you into an organization's culture or an organization's processes. But what they don't really teach you is how to navigate the everyday of what it means to have a large or small coworker base, large or small supervisor base, you know, vertical structure around you, and make it through the day and feel satisfied and feel like you accomplished something. So what would our listeners benefit from? We're going to talk a lot about what a toxic workspace is, what, you know, how it differs from a hostile work environment, you know, and I've got a bunch of questions that I'd really like to dig into. But what ultimately, on the other side of this conversation in this episode, Felix, what would you like people to take away? What do you think is a good intention for us today?
I think the intention really should be to equip people with the tools to navigate the situation and look at all of their options and not just one. So it's not just this toxic workplace isn't for me. I'm going to walk away, or maybe it's time to really dissect what makes it toxic, and is there anything that you can do to change? Because mm-hmm. maybe it's coming from you, and that's something that yeah. I've experienced myself firsthand. I was the one that was creating this toxic environment for my staff without even knowing. And it wasn't anything that I was doing purposely. It came from and was driven by their assumption of what I was offering to them based on my experience.
Yeah, I think that's a great intention. I love it. And let's just kind of jump in. What would you call a toxic workspace? What's your definition?
Toxic workspaces to me are environments where they are really breeding grounds for unfair treatment or actions driven by personal gain or, mm-hmm. you know, and honestly, in 2022, I think as a society, we're starting to look at how we treat others in all circumstances. And I think there's one root of the service industry, not just retail, that's mm-hmm. Been around for a long time. There's a saying that people always bring up, the customer is always right.
Yes.
And it's time for us to tear that down, because if you navigate and operate with that thought process, you're going to further engage this toxic space, because you're allowing people to treat you however they would like to treat you.
Yes.
And it's not fair.
No, I like that approach to how we can frame this discussion, because I think coming into a job that you rely on, that you wake up every day or every day that you're scheduled and you put on your clothes and you walk through the door and you mentally prepare yourself to get through the day, if you mentally are preparing yourself to, I don't want to say be subservient. Yes, we're a service industry, but I think the mentality, like you said, if the customer is always right, that means that I am less valued in that equation. And that can make just the feeling of working in that industry feel more of kind of like, I don't want to say torture, but like you're walking, like you're doing yourself harm by choosing to stay there. And I think a lot of times that can really tarnish what could be a fantastic employment experience, because you're walking in with this, well, today I might not be treated that well from the people that I'm actually being paid to make happy. Mm-hmm. And that is, that doesn't feel good. I mean, just to be blunt,
it definitely doesn't.
No retailer walks, you know, into a boardroom, into their board of directors and say, hey, I've got this great idea. I want to launch this new service, or, you know, this is my idea. No organization sets out with a goal of creating these toxic spaces. Where do you, other than the fact that sometimes we have these mantras that aren't necessarily the healthiest for us as employees, you know, where do you think the breakdown occurs? Where do you think the toxicity starts to creep in to the everyday, the ins and outs?
So one of the things that I can, there's an example that I can give you.
Oh, I love it.
It's from a luxury environment. Mm-hmm. So in the retail business, profit is always the most important factor.
Yes.
And I think there has to be a balance between profitability and the satisfaction of your employees. Mm-hmm. Because the more the employees are satisfied, the more they're going to offer your customers, which further will drive the profitability. I don't think it's looked at from that stance. And that's where I think it starts. So mm-hmm. this luxury environment I was in, there was a manager who I worked under, mm-hmm. who was, I want to find a word that's not so harsh, but she wasn't the nicest person to deal with.
Okay. A challenging person.
She was challenging. She did not know how to communicate effectively mm-hmm. to her staff or peers. Mm-hmm. She was amazing at building the business and clienteling. She drove the location. Once she took it over in 2 years by $2 million, an increase of $2 million. So on paper, can you imagine the president of that brand said, wow, this is a keeper. Meanwhile, everyone in that environment that worked in that store with her was miserable.
Yeah.
And when I say miserable, there were tears. There were, it just was not a pleasant space to be in. And for me, I had an okay relationship with her. She respected me for whatever reason. And she would come to me and ask me regularly, was I too hard on them? After a meeting that we would have where she would yell, raise her voice, be aggressive about the staff not meeting their clientele goals or not selling as many things as she thought they should have sold to that particular customer.
Yes.
If you have to ask someone, were you too harsh? You're probably worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
like, and I mean, it also seems like her leadership style was about not showing any weakness, and that, you know, that physical and verbal showing of strength seems like it actually kind of was covering up the fact that she really didn't know if she was being effective or not.
No, she thought that was the way, and she just assumed, okay, this is fine.
And that's because that's how she got her results previously, so that's what she was going to continue. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the staff would constantly come to me complaining, upset, and I didn't know what to do, but I decided that I was going to take a step. I reached out to HR. You know, this is something that I think a lot of us in retail don't do enough. We don't use our resources that are available to us.
No.
People are afraid to report things that they know are wrong. But I said, you know what? I'm just going to go to them, explain to them what's happening, because it's creating an environment where I'm not satisfied.
Yeah.
And the team is not happy. So we're not going to have the best results. When a customer enters the store, they can feel.
They feel it. They yes. 100%. It. Yeah.
And not to draw this out too long, but this particular experience, I was only there, I only lasted for 9 months, maybe.
Wow.
It was so
almost was like instantaneous, where you were like, listen, like this just isn't, it doesn't feel healthy. I mean, I think, you know, when we look at the actual definition of workplace, you know, toxicity, or, you know, as opposed to hostile work environment, like hostile work environment is, you know, a legal term for a reason. It honestly, when the two of them intersect, it makes it unbearable. It makes it unbearable for the customer, and it makes it unbearable also for the employee. And, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to use our resources.
No.
We most certainly shouldn't. I mean, I think your example is great. You know, most retailers in particular, but organizations in general, you know, they don't say, I want the toughest person. They want what they put on their job application or their job description is, I want somebody to drive results. And the misinterpretation oftentimes is, I have to be tough, or I have to be hard, or I have to constantly critique to build or to develop. Versus being empathetic and being supportive. And like you said, understanding each individual and how each individual works. It sounds like she also treated everybody the same.
She did. Except
with
me
a loud
for some
voice.
Reason. She liked me for some reason.
Well,
I don't know why, because I know she felt a certain way because I did have to go to the vice president of human resources, and long story short, they flew down from New York, and she was held up in a room for the entire day, and they wanted to figure out what was going on. And I ended up walking away because it was not healthy for me to stay in that situation.
Yeah. No, I don't think it would be healthy for anyone.
No, and you know, there were others on the team that decided to stay, even though they, and this is something I think people fear of using the resources. Others said, you know what, I'm gonna go to them too. I'm gonna back you up. Nobody did, but that was okay. It was okay. It's fine. I mean, I had to walk away. I'll just put it like this. it became a legal issue. I had to sign a document. Conversation. It was one of those situations, but she was still in that role. She's no longer in that role. They decided to make changes, but it shouldn't take all of that to make that type of change. And I was warned about her before I joined that company, and I should have listened to what people told me. But, you know, I just wanted to figure out myself because I thought the grass was going to be greener from where I was. Yep. And the salary bump was quite large.
Yes. Yes.
So I mean, let me do it.
You brought it up with your intention for our conversation today about, you know, seeking greener pastures and, you know, understanding that toxicity is more about how you treat people and the environment that comes about because of how you interact with other people. I mean, toxic environments really are interpersonal challenges that either are occasional or constant. And when it comes from a leader to a team, you know, the ripples on the pond, they go everywhere. You know, like the one person, the higher up they are, can have massive effect. Like you said, the waterfall effect, the trickle down, where it just kind of happens and it ends up affecting more and more people. That's not to say that a single employee within a team can't also bring, you know, a team down or make an environment toxic. But you said, I left it because it wasn't healthy for me. I needed to go somewhere else. And that's pretty much everybody's first reaction when they're at work and they encounter an environment where they are really uncomfortable, is I'm just going to leave. And I think the I'm just going to leave comes from, it's not going to change.
Right. It's a lack of trust in the process.
I can't change it. It's bigger than me, right?
Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you can change it.
Well, yeah.
I changed that situation.
You changed that situation.
I didn't stick around for the change, but it did change. And the same thing happened. The environment that we worked in together, there was a situation. It was quite toxic with a peer.
Yes.
And I initially decided to walk away, but I was challenged by my leader to not do so. And there was change that happened. And I think it really is important. And that moment was the moment where I learned that I needed to take action instead of just being passive and just putting my tail between my legs and just walking away.
Well, I think that goes to show that, you know, within retail, it's not necessarily all bad. And I think a lot of people who find themselves in those situations, you mentioned not knowing how to leverage resources. I think, first of all, as a leader, you have a responsibility to understand your people and see when those situations might be happening. And if you're not aware of each individual that reports to you, you know, you had a leader who was very compassionate and who was empathetic, who also understood you and who valued you and who recognized that there was a problem and challenged you because it was a problem that was impacting you, not necessarily impacting the other person directly, but challenged you. And that's something that generally doesn't happen in our environment, because that person isn't there, especially now, not in 2022. You know, you might see your boss like for 5 minutes a week because the staff sizes are so small. But, you know, being able to trust the system and have somebody in your corner saying, listen, I don't want you to leave. Let's fix the situation. Yes, you might have to take initial action, but I'm going to support you. That's a huge, huge opportunity for, I think, any retailer. Doesn't matter if you're fast fashion or off price or a convenience store or a grocery store, like to have a leader actually see their people, like see them, and recognize when there are challenges that need to be stepped up to. rather than just go with the status quo and say, okay, well, if it's not good for you, it's not going to change. So good luck in your next endeavor. Do you need a recommendation? No. So if you find yourself in a toxic environment where you are personally being impacted negatively in terms of it's just uncomfortable, or you don't see integrity happening around you and it makes you not feel like you should be there, or if you don't feel valued, or if you know you just see people striving for that metric to hit their bonus like you did in your luxury experience without treating people the way that they deserve and should be treated, what should people do? What are three things that, or skills that you think someone who is feeling that anxiety and that initial feeling like, I'm just going to make the easy choice, which is to leave. What are three things do you think people can take action on?
I think the first step is really understanding the source of the toxicity in that environment. Mm-hmm. And then figuring out an action plan, creating an action plan to dissect it and combat it in some sort of way. And then going back to leveraging your resources and getting the support and help that you need in order to execute those things.
Yeah, I think that those three actions are perfect because they're not complicated. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when people think I can't make a change, they think it's because the process is too complicated, right? Mm-hmm. It's not complicated to figure out the root cause of an issue.
Right.
It's very easy to actually see all of the symptoms and be upset by the symptoms or feel the symptoms, but you actually have to take a few minutes and step back to figure out what the root cause is, because it might not be what you think it is. Mm-hmm. I think in addition to that, understanding a game plan, again, saying those words, like as a leader, you know, and you know, as a leader in retail, it sounds really complicated to create an action plan, but it really isn't, especially when it comes to making sure that yourself or your coworkers or your location or even your company or division within a company is operating with integrity and within the values that the organization that you chose to become a part of professes to. Like they have to, you want them, you joined the company because you understood and appreciated the values that the company had or felt they had.
Felt
and then
they
you
had,
didn't,
yes.
You didn't see it, you didn't feel it, it wasn't apparent. And no one in a glass tower will understand that until somebody actually raises their hand and says, do you see what's going on here? Because you might not see what's going on here. You might see what's on a report, but do you see what's going on here? And that you should be proud and be empowered to do the right thing. So in terms of action plan and using resources, I think, you know, obviously comes as the last part of your action plan, understanding what resources you need to leverage in order to have your action plan happen. One of the things that I actually just did a lesson on is problem solving. And it ties really closely into this in a way that I didn't expect going into our conversation, in that sometimes you need to identify the problem, really truly identify it, but then sometimes the solution, it's easier to work back from what you think the right thing is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And that also is a step that I think people who just choose the easy solution to look for another position, they can't see the fact that there is a light, there is a solution. But it requires one person or a group of people to actually step up and call out the toxicity for what it is to try to correct it.
Yeah, actually, when I was working in a fast fashion environment, I entered this space coming from luxury, mm-hmm. and there were all of these things that the staff thought of me because of my background. And I also entered that situation knowing that this was a tough staff, as all the leaders said. Mm-hmm. But I decided to hold a meeting with my entire staff, sit them down and tell them, this is an open space for you. I want you to feel like this is a safe environment. Tell me whatever you want me to know. I want to know what problems you have with me. I want to mm-hmm. know what things you think can change. Just spill it all. There were two people, it's about 60 people that we had there. Mm-hmm. Two people did not show up. So I knew that their intentions were not good. And those were the two people that were just running their mouth and spreading rumors and saying all these things negatively for no reason. Mm-hmm. But everyone else, I realized after talking through things, I gained their respect for one. And they understood that we all had the same goal of being successful. You know, I thought, you know, these kids are young, they just graduated high school. This is just a job for them, they don't really care. They show up late all the time, they call out. But they were doing those things. It was a form of acting out because they weren't happy. Yeah. And I was able to shift that environment by showing them that I really cared. I was there to help them. I wanna see them grow, and not just in that store. I wanna see them grow in life. Is there anything that I can do to help you develop yourself as a human being? I want to bring the information and experience that I've had and support you in whatever way I can.
And I just have to say, like, that makes me so happy. Like, that what that also shows me, Felix, is the fact that as a leader, particularly in a service industry, it doesn't even matter what industry, not even retail, mm-hmm. to be able to see and encounter something that is not right and leave and make a concerted effort to make sure that you can be the like at the very beginning, you can be the source of correct behavior is like amazing. Like, because that is what you did with that group of young employees was right on the tail of leaving a position where someone had an iron fist and yelled and raised their voices and only wanted results and didn't care how people got it, didn't care that they went into the back room and cried after getting feedback. And you completely turned it around in your next role. That is awesome. Like, and I'm sure you had people start showing up to work on time, start calling out less, being excited to work a shift because they knew you were working, probably approached you a lot more. I'm sure those two people who skipped your meeting probably did, but they were up to their shenanigans and moved on to a new target, I'm sure.
And you know, the other thing that was also important that they expressed to me that I never looked at being a leader for many years before that, is that they really wanted to get to know me. Who I am, what do I like to do? What do I like watching on TV? What I do on the weekend for fun? That was really important to them for us to have that connection. And I ignored that walking into the situation, but it completely changed our dynamic going forward and the business improved tremendously.
Yeah, I think your call to action on what you can do, if you find yourself in a toxic retail work environment of, you know, really truly identifying what the problem is, not just the symptoms, coming up with an action plan, really knowing what is the solution or what should the solution look like, and then understanding what resources you can leverage yourself and step up with courage to start the process for yourself and for everyone else. I think those are 100% amazing takeaways, but another powerful takeaway that I would probably say is not breaking the cycle. Felix, you chose to break the cycle with your next team. And holding people accountable, truly holding people accountable, means upholding an environment that is respectful and inclusive and supportive and empathetic and enjoyable for all. But at the same time, when we encounter it and it's not that way, we can make a change. And part of that is also taking that and paying it forward, which is what you did. And I love it.
And being genuine is really important too, because people can read through the, oh, let's do a team building exercise. Oh. Let's go bowling. Or
oh, don't even get me started on really let's go care. Bowling. Don't even. That was something that Felix and my previous employer thought was going to build team spirit, is get everybody out of the store so they can be friends.
And it doesn't work. You know, one thing about that environment, one thing that employees said to me a lot is that they really just want the leaders to speak to them in the morning.
Yeah.
Or say hello and yes. say goodnight. I was like, yes. that's it? And they're like, yeah, that's like, they pinpointed certain people. They said to me, oh, you always speak to us when you come around, but this person doesn't speak. And I said to, you know, it came up to that person and they started speaking and it made a difference.
Yeah.
Just something so simple.
It's simple because, you know, I think you also talked about focus, and like when a company's focus is on a number versus on the human element, leadership can be misinterpreted. Leadership is not just driving a number. Leadership is appreciating and empowering people. And that's how results happen. So we have talked about a lot, Mr. Felix. And one thing I do want to say is I loved your examples throughout several of your employments, because they actually do tell a great story of progress, but at the same time of commitment to change. You know, first encountering, you know, some toxicity and being supported. Well, previous to that, you encountered some toxicity and weren't supported, but encountering someone who actually said, no, don't leave, stand up for what's right, take action, and you did, and then running into it, you know, in your next role and not having to be prompted because you had the confidence and you knew what was right and what was wrong and you used your resources. And then to completely break the cycle in your, you know, your last role in retail by starting out and recognizing the situation before it progressed, whether or not you were, you know, intentionally creating it or not, like you might've been the source of that because of coming from a luxury setting into a fast fashion setting and a lot of preconceived notions about who you were or the type of leader you were going to be, and breaking that cycle by becoming empathetic and supportive and more focused on developing and building trust than anything else. Like, I love your examples. But in closing, you know, what should leaders out there specifically be prepared for? Like, they're gonna encounter this, right? Like, especially new leaders, because stand-up retail is really focused in on helping people who are aspiring to get into leadership, or somebody who's a new leader, or possibly even somebody who's a struggling leader who just went through, you know, who's experiencing challenges, but also probably feeling failures or seeing some failures in their results. What should leaders like that be prepared for, you know, rather than just jumping ship and thinking that it's going to be a lot, the grass is going to be greener over at that other company?
So the one thing to know is that the grass will never be greener if you don't make any change.
Oh,
so
that's a good point. Yeah.
It's really about you. So, and that's what I learned. I would jump from company to company to company, like nothing's happening. Why am I still stuck in this role? It took me I entered retail leadership in 2007, and it took me until 2016 to become a store manager. And I kept going from company to company thinking it was going to happen, and it never happened because I did nothing differently. Yeah. So part of it was me trusting myself and believing in what I have to offer and fighting for that and standing for that, regardless of what the outcome may be. I can't walk away from it saying, I will never walk away from something not knowing that I didn't fight my hardest for it. And yep. this is not just a retail leadership lesson. This is a life lesson that I've learned.
Yeah.
You have to fight for everything that you believe in. And it's not always just about you. It's about other people that are around you. So as yeah. I mentioned earlier, I fought for creating a better environment for that staff at that luxury store. I walked away from it, but I was able to make change that affected and impacts people that are still there today.
Yeah.
Years later, because they've made changes because of what I brought to light.
And well, you were courageous enough to bring to light, and because you knew the difference between what was right in terms of an environment that people should walk into every single day versus what is not. Yeah, I mean, we do learn a lot of life lessons in retail, don't we?
Yes, we do. And it really boils down to, because you're that one environment of retail, you don't think you'll ever encounter so many people in any other workplace, because it's the staff and it's also the customers. Yeah. So I've learned how to deal with all types of people from all over the world, from different walks of life, different backgrounds. It's not easy, but it's rewarding because I've learned so much.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great segue into talking about one of the things that you work on outside of your job in real estate right now, which is also extremely courageous, and working for things that are correct and right and deserved. Why don't you tell us what you do in your spare time? I know you're busy all the time, but what do you do in your spare time, my friend?
So one of the things that I've been working on lately is a show. It's a podcast, and we'll have a video element coming soon, called To Felix With Love. And I started this show initially. It is about the journey of being Black and gay in America and what that looks like and the barriers that we have to face and how do we break them down. Mm-hmm. But the initial part of that journey for me was connecting with myself at 2 years old. I use a picture of myself at two as an example.
I love that picture.
Thank you. And I think about, what is it that if I had the opportunity, you know, we always talk about connecting with our inner child, mm-hmm. but it's not about just healing the inner child. It's also about nurturing your inner child. And I try to do something as often as possible that would make him happy, whether mm-hmm. it's overcoming an obstacle like that retail experience that I had. I would have normally been afraid to stand up and speak out, but doing things like that makes little Felix happy, and in turn nourishes and creates a better environment for me to exist in. Yes. So I want to connect people to that mm-hmm. and hope that everyone does that. And it's not just Black or gay people. We all need to figure out how we can do that, and we'll all be able to connect to each other in a better way.
No, I love your podcast. I'm so excited for the video elements. Your interviews are phenomenal. Everybody, where can they find you? Tell them where they can find To Felix With Love.
So you can follow me on IG. I'm Felix Sebastian. I also have a YouTube channel called To Felix With Love, and a podcast on Anchor. I'm also available on all podcast platforms at To Felix With Love.
Nice. All right, please, everybody, go check it out. It's amazing. Great things to come, because I haven't seen a sneak peek, but I've heard what's coming, and trust me, you're going to want to check it out. But thank you so much, Felix. I really appreciate the time you gave us today. I'm sure all of our listeners really have some meat and some inspiration to understand, hey, if you feel this way, you're not alone. And trust me, jumping to another company probably is not going to be that bright, shiny, beautiful change that you expect. You can hope for it, but there's some things that you can do to prepare and to like mentally prepare yourself if it is not that way, and to become courageous and step up and do the right thing. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you, listeners, for listening all the way through. We'll be back with another interview in July, and our subject is TBD, but you can catch that in our wrap up on Fridays. And give us a quick like and share, and we'll be back again soon. Thanks so much. Carrie and Felix signing up from Stand Up Retail. Bye.